Not the most exciting week at AMC, people. We got two head writers on the way out and one new one on the way in. Now, the AMC cast might be happy about it, but the fans? We're caught in the middle of two head writing teams. And we're the ones whose brains are exploding from boredom. All you AMC fans around the world ain't got much at all to tell you, cause the show's boring as hell. Tell the folks that run daytime on the ABC that we're about to tune out, cause the writing is crappy. Up Chuck Pratt is on the way, what can we say? Really mangled, desperate housewives that Santa Barbara went away. After Chuck EP now. I'm really worried about my AMC. Oh, so what? That's what we say. We know Blandy is a goner and that Richie's going away. Well, so what? Adam and Greenlee, they are really lame, but not as bad as new Colby.
Ooh. That new Colby. That is a whole nother song intro.
This week on All My Children, Richie threatens the girls of Fusion. So what?
Greenlee and Aiden are still broken up. So what?
Jesse becomes the chief of police. So what?
And new Kobe? So what?
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast. Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson, who's losing his voice. Sorry.
Just go...
Yeah, it's coming back.
And this is the podcast for the week ending June 27, 2008.
Woo! You did it right.
I did it right. Woo. Unfortunately, there was not a lot this week that was right about All My Children.
I know. It was...
They're in limbo.
Literally
in limbo.
This is what I was telling you about. My problem with the show right now is that it's hard to get motivated and invested in it when you know that these writers are going to be gone and new writers are coming in. And it's already seeming like things are just like not really happening.
They're trying to wrap up a few things and move into the next thing.
Yeah, but you know what?
Wrapping up Richie, obviously.
But you know what? I have felt like when it came to the Richie, Blandy, Ryan, Kendall Green, I feel like they've been writing this as they go along. I don't feel like they ever really had a clear idea of where they were going with this storyline. And that's why it's kind of been very for me, because I'm like, where are we going? I mean, for a while there, it seemed like Ryan was going to fall back in love with Kendall because that's who he remembered. And then they seemed to drop that. And then now he's in love with Green. It's like, well, where is this going? Is he going to get his memory? Like, I don't feel like they really know what they were doing with this.
Yeah. I don't think,
you know,
so. And plus they're lazy writers. Just, so you put lazy writers and you mix it up. We don't know where we want to go. You get.
Yeah, but again, I hate knocking on them because they did give us a lot of great moments. And I think that's the problem. It's like this week there have been a lot of great moments. But, you know, you got a 40-something minute show every day for 5 days. I mean, you got to give a little bit than a couple of moments.
Well, listen, I don't mean to be unfair myself. This is an opinion show, as it were. But the truth be told, it's filler storylines right now. So it's not really Barbara Eisenstadt and James Harmon Brown's fault right now. It's just like... It's transitional material.
Yeah, it's transitional. And one of you guys, I think it was I don't remember who it was. I'm sorry. But
misattribute things and we get in trouble.
I know.
Don't misattribute Jordan Hudson.
I'm going to make sure I say it to the right person. I'm not going to say who it was. But somebody in the blog mentioned they want to know why we were hating on Up Chuck Pratt.
As we nickname him.
Yes. Again, his track record isn't that great. I mean, yes, he was with Ugly Betty for like a nanosecond, but he wasn't like in charge of Ugly Betty. That's why it wasn't such a damaging thing. But he was, you know, part of the fiasco of the second season of Desperate Housewives. He and Bob Guza made General Hospital into The Sopranos. And, you know, also Santa Barbara, which was one of my favorite soap operas. Him and Jim,
Marcy Walker was on.
Yeah, Marcy Walker, Liza Kobe. Martinez. She played Eden Capel. She was very stunning on that show. Well, she was, you know, she was the diva of the show. Yeah. That was her show. Chuck Pratt and Jill Farren Phelps took over for the Dobsons, and NBC knocked the Dobsons out, locked them out of their own show. And the quality of the show took a dive when Chuck Pratt and Jill Fran Pulps were, like, in charge. For me, it did.
But like we said last week, Jordan, we got some inside scoop that claims that the cast is very happy about this change.
Well, I'm glad that they're unhappy. I'm glad they're happy but I'm not, because I feel like he writes, you know, he's from the James Riley School of Writing, and it's very, like, Megan Mattash, very, like, not necessarily very deep or character driven, and I just feel like, I don't know, I just feel like it's just going to be really back to what we were a year ago. I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but...
Listen, considering... All right, look,
I'm
not...
I'm depressed about it.
I'm concerned about Up Chuck Pratt myself, but considering right now where it is, it's not good right now, so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what happens. The reason why it's not good, we know, is because these writers are leaving, so, I mean, they're writing stupid stuff now until they...
Yeah, but see, again, you're saying that it's not good right now. I look at it this way. I'm enjoying it now more than I was a year ago today.
Yes, that's true. But right now, it's like this whole Richie storyline has become so crazy out of control. And the Blandy thing is so crazy out of control for me. I could accept it, people. Listen, here's how I could have accepted it. I could have accepted it if when Richie came to town, we then realized that Blandy was the one that was crazy. That all the time she had been in Prime Valley previous to his arrival, that she had been just acting goody-goody. Do you know what I mean?
But we discussed that before. That would have been a great twist.
But now she's been goody-goody-goody-goody-goody. And now all of a sudden that Ryan is sick, now she's crazy. And I'm not buying it. I know you people like it. I'm not buying it. I like the actress. I really do. I think she's beautiful. I think she's a good actress. I just don't enjoy the character. I think it's silly. I'm not scared about mincemeat, meatball face, Richie. I'm not scared of him. He looks nasty. Doesn't he believe in band-aids?
Well, that's your man who beat him up.
I know, but he should put on band-aids. That could get infected.
So
he should die from infection. That's how he should die.
Well, that would be a better way than he's dying. That we heard a scoop about how he's exiting, and I just think it's so stupid.
You people are not even gonna believe.
Maybe you guys would like it. I personally think there are so many creative ways you could have had another Who Kills Zach Grayson storyline with this storyline. So many people want this guy dead. It would have been a nice twist to have a good old fashioned murder mystery where people actually, you know, there are a bunch of suspects to who could kill them.
But I'm gonna say something.
What?
Of all the people that you want to give a storyline to regarding the Richie death, I don't want to give it away.
No.
I will say no more. I will say no more. I will say no more. You do not want this person to have this storyline, because then you will have to watch them. That's what I'm saying. Oh, why? Man. Just why? It's leading no good. You want to talk about the Girls of Fusion? The beginning of the week, very beginning of the week. Let's get them out of the way.
All right, let's talk. Go ahead. Tell
them
what happened.
Out of the way.
What happened?
Lucy Danziger happened. That's what happened. Who am I? So this is Fusion. That poor lady. Listen, I don't even want to make fun of her because...
Do they know? Do you guys
she's
know?
She's the real... Okay.
She's a real editor.
Lucy Danziger is the real editor of Self Magazine. And I don't want to bash on her because you know what? She ain't no actress, okay? She never claimed to be. They put her on there. She never claimed to be. And I got to tell you, in all honesty, I actually was quite pleased because I thought she was really working hard to try to have fun and be a fun character. So I actually really liked her. But the self-promotion part of it was a little...
So what? So what? That's my feeling.
That's
so what?
That's what I'm saying.
This is a so what kind of week.
If it was like Paris Hilton, then I might care. You know what I'm saying? Not that I like Paris Hilton, but that would be kind of interesting. That's all I'm saying. Lucy Danziger? Who the hell is Lucy Danziger?
She's the editor of Self Magazine.
Clearly. Anyway, the company, Fusion, is facing another crisis, and Greenlee is nowhere to be found, and everyone is pissed because they're all working their perfect little manicure, little tiny fingers to the bone. Their brain cell is working very hard.
Their one brain cell for the whole group
is on overdrive. Some of them started to smoke, started to come out their ears. They're thinking so hard.
You're crazy. I don't know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
Listen, I'm not going anywhere with it. I'm just saying that it's all like manufactured dumbass.
Oh, yes, you're
right.
That's
all I'm saying.
Okay.
So, anyway, whatever crisis of the day has arisen that they're trying to create dumbass drama out of, Lucy Danziger laughs it off. And anyway, and of course, Babe is defensive about Richie. She starts screaming, I didn't sleep with Richie, okay?
So what?
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. I kind of feel embarrassed for her. She clearly received too much positive reinforcement as a child, and she thinks that everybody cares about her crap, and they don't. Even though I like new Babe. As Jordan Hudson would say, ow!
Stop saying that.
My God. I was going to say, ow, my face is starting to look like Richie's. You better lay off, Jordan. I was going to say that new Babe, as you pronounce her, I think she at least looks pretty.
Yeah, she looked pretty this week. I'll agree with you on that.
Thank you. All right. So then Kendall, this is one of my favorite scenes, actually. When Kendall tries to calm that crazy Blandy down, who knows? I just know that Greenlee is with Ryan. I just know it. I'm furious that Greenlee is with Ryan. Furious. What?
I like your imitations. They're funny.
All right, listen. So then Kendall tries to calm Blandy down, and Blandy was no joke because she was pissed. She's like, everybody loves Greenlee. I don't understand why everybody loves Greenlee. She tried to kill your kid, blah, 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 blah.
I agree with her, though.
I do, too, but still.
Why does everybody love Greenlee?
She reminded Kendall that it's very convenient for her if Ryan is with Greenlee because it keeps Greenlee away from Zach. And she said it in that cut like a knife. I thought that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, zoinks.
Moments. I told you there's some good moments.
That was a good moment. But then, like, 2 seconds later, that crazy Blandy apologizes. And Kendall's like, it's okay. I understand. You're totally stressed. I get it. It's going to be okay, Annie.
Kendall's so wishy-washy right
now. But how does that make any sense? This woman just said the most cutting, nasty, vile things.
Because Kendall's been neutered. I told you that. As much as I love my Alicia Minshew, they have really neutered that character.
They took away her tetitas. You know what tetitas?
Her what?
Tetita.
Okay, I think you made that up. It's tetas.
When you say something in Spanish, you call it little. Like tia is titi. You put an I-T-I. So tetita.
I have never in my life heard anybody say tetitas.
I say tetitas.
Oh,
he's mad at me, Jordan Hudson. He's looking at me with eyes.
I have never heard tetitas.
He's mad. Why are you mad at me, Jordan Hudson?
I'm not mad at you. Are you insane?
No.
I love you.
He's mad at me because I said I like new Babe.
No, you know what? I was going to say that I like her, but I don't.
All right, well, what I did like is I like when Zach met Richie with a billy club and a nightstick. A lot of people didn't like that. A lot of people thought that was really crazy and nasty.
And I don't think that they were saying that it was crazy. Now, I just feel like they felt it was a little bit OTT. Just a little bit. And
what's
also
OTT?
Over the top. And I think that a lot of people felt, you know, that it put Zach in a different light for them, you know, because they love their Zach. I know you guys love your Zach. But I have to
That's
say.
That's why I liked it.
I kind of have to say, though, that
it was messed up.
It was messed up. But you know what? Nobody's perfect. I think a character is much more interesting when they're not totally black or white, when they're not just good guys. I think one of the reasons that Erica has been such a popular character is because she was the one you love to hate. Because as much as, you know, she was a bitch and she said things that we wish we could, you know? And you got to see this vulnerable, sensitive side, which I think before Erica Kane, other characters, except for Rachel on Another World, were very black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Agnes Nixon, who also was responsible for Rachel, you know, she created these characters that are full-blown. So as much as I do understand what you guys are saying, that it was a little bit overdramatic, the fact that Zach did this, but you got to remember what Richie did to him, too.
I agree.
I mean, when you're pushed to that level, that somebody literally, you know, how can you guys say that you wouldn't do the same thing put in his position?
Well, all I know is it made me really uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that's
I
the way it should be. It
I like
should.
That. Like my stomach was like, wow, this is dark.
But I think the fact that you guys were upset about it in the blog, that shows that it hit a nerve, which is good. That's good writing.
No,
you
want to
get your audience feeling something.
It was messed up. And then afterwards, he goes back to his office, and who does he see?
Who?
Insert sound of angels flying. Miss Myrtle. This was the week of Myrtle. Jordan Hudson just got all.
I missed it. I love my Myrtle. I love when my older characters come back. Myrtle, Well, you know, yeah. She was.
Mm. Well, she was great because she's sitting there waiting for him because she's very worried about him because she heard about this evil Richie, and she sees the club and she knows exactly what he did, and she reminds him that Kendall and the boys, you know, really need him, and if he does stuff like that, that really puts, you know, him at risk for never seeing them again. And she was just great. She just reminded him that, like, she just said something corny like, you know, the arms of your boys and the arms of your wife, Kendall, feel much better than, you know, taking a club to Richie's head. Something like that.
Yeah, it was a good scene. I mean, anything with Myrtle was like, it was very heart.
Well, I loved it because he grabbed her face and he kissed her on the cheek. And then she turns her face and she kissed him on the mouth.
And that's then, sly old Myrtle.
And then Zach French kisses her back. And then he unbuttoned her blouse and he takes off her slip and he unlatches her girdle and he unlatches the 16 hooks of her Playtex double F full cut bra. And then he throws her on the desk and he makes mad passionate love to her. I was dying.
What the hell are you talking about?
I was dying. It was amazing.
I was like, I guess she saw like the unedited version on SoapNet because I don't know what she was talking about.
You gotta watch on HD. You can see all this on HD.
You are so crackheadish. Your new name is Ashley Winehouse. I can't.
Anyway, it was funny because then after that, everyone goes, or actually Adam goes to visit Richie at the jail. And at this point, his face is like mincemeat, you know. It's all like hamburger. And it was really painful, I have to say, to watch Adam try to like be mad at Richie and threaten him. And
I'm not even speaking on Adam
an
anymore.
Innocent girl. You took an innocent girl and locked her up. Greenlee's most perfect girl ever. And you hurt her. My Greenlee. It was ridiculous.
I'm not saying anything on him because you know my feelings about him.
On Wednesday's episode, they all go to Richie's hearing, and Blandy knows that she got to get Richie out of this and all that stuff. And I don't know, like, he comes out and everybody sees his face and they all look at Zach and I don't know. But Zach was funny. He was cool as a cucumber. He was kind of scary. I dug it because he's so good as an actor. That Torsten K. I know a lot of y'all disagree, but I just think he's so good as an actor.
No, I liked it. I liked it.
Anyway, Blandy's hair looked darker this week. Look good. I love that dark hair on the
lady. I think she looks better with dark hair.
She looks so good with the
dark
hair.
We discussed that when she first dyed the hair. We all thought she looked better with it. She has a very classic old Hollywood look.
Yes.
Very AMC, very Turner classic.
Do you know the name of the guy who plays the judge?
No.
I love him. He's like been the judge for a couple things.
Yeah,
I really
he's
like
been around.
Him. I like him.
There were a lot of like day players and extras this week that I liked.
Yeah?
I like all my children's day players and extras.
Why? Do you recognize them?
No, because they usually like the warden, Erica's warden. I like her.
Yeah, she's great.
I like her. And who else was and I well this week I like the cop that was dealing with Jesse and Richie. He was a good actor.
I like the cop. I kind of like the cop who was dealing with the Frankie and Randy storyline.
Yeah, that was the same cop.
It was the same cop.
There were two cops this week.
Oh, all right.
Because a lot of shows they hire like really stiff actors sometimes to be like
right.
So like I like the fact that All My Children has some like really believable actors playing these parts.
That's because they don't want them to upstage the really bad actors. New Kobe, Randy.
Okay, I'm not gonna say anything.
Not yet. We're coming up to that. Anyway, Richie decides, people, for all y'all that have not been watching this dramatic turn of events, Richie decides to become his own lawyer, and he presents evidence that he was clear of his previous conviction and that Blandy lied to put him in jail. And he convinces the judge that the Pinecone Inn will keep him, and the judge, you know, says that he will let him do this if he wears an ankle bracelet. And boring.
I know, but then it ended very exciting.
It ended great.
Why? Richie, because a veteran comes back.
That's right. And Richie sees Opal, and she says, "The cards don't lie, Richie. Death is at your door, and he will not be cheated."
See, but that's what I'm saying. You got an actress coming in, and she delivers one line, and she steals the whole episode for me.
It's really true.
What does that say? What does that say? That she needs to be on contract, and you, Kobe, doesn't.
Bless her heart.
Bless her heart.
That was the best piece of advice we ever received.
I know. I love that.
Thank you so much.
That was Diane. I'm sure that was Diane from Texas.
That was awesome.
Or not Texas. Wait, I don't know where you're from, Diane. But Diane, you cracked me up.
The best.
When I read your blah, I was crying. I literally had tears coming down my eyes. I thought it was funny.
I've been saying it all week.
Bless your heart.
I've been saying that Adam is a retard. Bless his heart. The whole week. It just works so perfectly. Anyway.
Oh my God.
So the next day we see Blandy staring at the camera, all so dramatic. Like, she's sitting on her couch with Ryan and she's staring at the camera, like a little towards the side of the camera. And then Ryan like stands behind her and he's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she's so upset and blah, blah, blah. She gets a fake call. Well, she gets a call from Richie and she has to fake that it's Emma. Meanwhile, she starts to cry when she's on this phone call. Like, wouldn't Ryan get suspicious?
So what?
I know. The whole thing's so what, right? I don't know. And since when does Ryan love Blandy again? Since they had sex on her ovulation day? Hint, hint, people. Hint, hint. That seems to have been dropped.
What?
The fact that they actually did have sexual intercourse. Coitus, if you will, on her ovulation.
They're hoping you'll forget.
Anyway, Blandy goes to see Meatball Face Richie. I don't have a good nickname for him yet. People, you got to help me out. That mincemeat face is so nasty. He needs some bacitracin ointment. He just does. It's disgusting. Anyway, Richie has the money, right? Does Blandy bring him the money in that episode? I don't remember. The whole logistics don't make sense to me. She reminds him that he has to take care of Greenlee, which was a little sinister and evil. And then he tells her to turn around, and she looks at him with them puppy dog eyes, and she says, please don't kill me, Richie. Please don't kill me. And he says, he has to make it convincing. Oh, it was creepy. But I gotta tell you, very irresponsible. If that woman had sex with Ryan on the day that she ovulated, as she could be pregnant, why she let him hit her on the head with a bottle?
Because that's what it said to do in the script.
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying. Stupid. That's what I'm saying.
Zach and Ryan?
Okay, so this all kind of intertwines. What happens is Ryan goes to see Zach about killing Richie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really find this scene, like, earth-shattering. But it was the exchange between Zach and Ryan that I thought was really good, because Zach didn't say that he was gonna kill Richie or whatever. He just said something like that Richie was gonna vanish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, why did they go to see Richie after that?
Because
the next day on Friday, they go to see Richie, and of course, they find Blandy on the ground, knocked out cold.
Right, they find her out knocked out cold, and then she's like apologizing, and they're like, oh, you don't need to apologize. It was very so what?
Well, Zach is very suspicious, obviously, because Zach is brilliant.
He thinks that something's not right with Blandy.
He's right, our little Blandy. She is.
All right, let's go on to
no
more
good.
Exciting things.
How did that end? Oh, it ended. I know.
With Richie going to Fusion and cutting off the lights or some nonsense like that.
It was so stupid. We had to wait the whole episode. On Thursday's episode, he goes to kill Greenlee at Fusion. And the girls just happen to be working because of some dumbass crisis that they all got to work.
All of them are there, and they're all there, and it's very contrite.
It's so contrite.
I'm sorry.
Contrived. He's so tired today.
You know what it is? I'm my allergies, and I'm losing my voice.
I can tell. You don't seem your normal self, Jordan Hudson.
I'm.
It makes me so sad.
I can't even think straight. That was funny.
You never could. Get it? Think straight. Get it? I love it, though. I love you. You know I love you.
Yes, I know.
We can talk about Greenlee Ryan.
Come on. Look, who's the guy like?
Oh, no. I wanted to finish up that story.
What?
This is what happened. The whole episode on Friday, Richie stalks around trying different little tactics to get to the girls. And then finally he finds a way to switch out the lights. And then all of a sudden you hear one of them go, whoa. Whoa. I was cracking up. It was the dumbest, silliest thing.
She loved that for some reason. She's been harping on that for hours.
It turns out to be Babe. That he stuffed her in the trunk.
No, that's too easy.
What do you mean?
Oh, that's just too easy. I can make so many jokes from that. I'm not even going to go there. Keep going. That's keep funny. Going. Shoving babe in a trunk.
Okay, you got a point. Anyway, Greenlee and Ryan. We started out the week with Greenlee and Ryan. Oh, my God. This was cringe-inducing, people. Cringe-inducing. They are still doing Asterias at this marina. And Greenlee and Ryan decide to rent Blue Skies. Now, my biggest problem with this whole thing was the timeline. I was so confused because Greenlee was in the same clothes that she was in when she had that fight with Aiden when he came over. And then she went to see Jack right away. And as far as I know, it was the morning because the girls were at work at Fusion in the morning and she was not around. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Greenlee had a really long freaking day that must have started at 6 in the morning. That's what I'm saying. Makes no sense. Anyway, they weren't sailing, people. They were in the blue skies, and they, for the most of it, they were not sailing. They showed like two clips where they were sailing, but then they were like pretending to sail. They kept looking up at the sail and like rocking back and forth out the boat to make it look like they were sailing. I was so embarrassed for them.
It looks stupid.
I was watching with Carlos. He pointed it out. He's like, they're not sailing. They ain't sailing. That boat ain't moving. Look at that. Look at the water. It's too quiet. And you could hear the boat knocking against the dock. Like, it was so obvious. I wanted to scream. That was pretty poor. Why do you have to fake that? Why do you have to do that?
I don't know. We used to do that when we were kids.
But we're not stupid.
When we were kids and we used to play, like, play imagination games and stuff. And we used to be like, look, we're in an earthquake. And we just used to rock our bodies around to make believe we're in an earthquake.
Right, it's kind of that thing. But what I'm saying is that this salts our intelligence because we ain't stupid. We know the bone ain't moving. It's stupid. And the next day, finally, Greenlee meets Adam in the morning. And she meets him in the morning at Confusion, right? And then they do this friends thing. I mean, it got a little interesting when Greenlee had that fake fantasy of kissing him. No? No? He's making faces, people.
Nah.
He looks like he just sucked on a lemon. That's the face he's making.
You know how I feel about him. I think it's time for him to go, finally. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, she ran off and Adam's like, hello, friend? Friend? I thought that was cute. I gotta give him credit where credit's due. He has moments. One of my favorite moments of the week. When Greenlee leaves, goes to BJ's and sees our darling, manly Jake.
Now, see, this is where I get involved.
He ain't but 5'6", but he's manly.
I gotta say, this is where I'm getting involved because I, again, think those two have smoking chemistry.
Smoking.
And if you cannot see that, that is old school 80s super couple. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Me and Ashley were talking about this before, and she said this is the first actor that Rebecca's been opposite since Josh Duhamel that she's seen this, like, kind of energy and spark. And I have to say,
maybe
I totally
Josh,
agree with
but
her.
Not to the same extent.
No, but I gotta say, I agree with you. Like, everybody that they put her with since Josh has been so beneath her and mediocre. And
Cameron is not beneath her and mediocre, but they don't have chemistry.
Well, that was forced. That was forced. And you guys don't want
They're
her with
friends.
Zach, even though I think her and Thorsten K have some chemistry. Mm-hmm. You guys really do not want those two hooking up for some reason. But I think that the
she has
two
chemistry
of them,
with Jake in a way that she doesn't even have it with Zach.
I just think the two of them were smoking, and the dialogue was snappy, and
it was fun. They had
milkshakes
together, and it was fun.
Ricky Paul Golden is so good in this role.
Oh,
he is so bloody good.
He's so good. They have milkshakes, and they're eating their milkshakes, and it is so much fun. And then she asks him to move in with her, and I couldn't tell because he basically tells her that he's sticking around after all. He doesn't have a place. She's like, live with me. Now, did she do that because she kind of likes him or because really, truly, she's afraid of Richie? There's got to be something more to that.
No,
or she's trying to get over Adam.
Yeah, I think I the way I took it, I thought that she just wants to move on. And part of moving on is just getting over Aiden, getting back into the swing of things. And she doesn't want to be alone. She just wants, you know, because she did that whole thing with him. She's like, touch me. Did you feel anything? He's like, no. She goes, good. That's perfect. We're friends then. Blah, 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 blah. So, like, I mean, in her mind, I mean, but who knows why Greenlee does some of the stupid
That's
shit that
true.
She does.
I know is I'm grateful Jesus. That she asked him because I love that development.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you.
And
those
I was
two
so upset because he's such a good actor that I truly believe that there was no freaking way he was moving in with her. I believed him. He was like, no, no, and no.
But you know our Greenlee, when she sets her mind to something.
But listen, it wasn't even that. It was circumstances. She gets a call that Richie has gone free. And then she turns, she kind of milked that a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly my point.
She when turns it's our a Greenlee, little she white. She turns like 8 shades of white. You can't even turn a shade of white, but she turns them. And he says, he gives in. He says, yes, I'll live with you. I'll protect you.
Yeah. You know what? If she was really that scared of Richie, she would have gone to her father, the lawyer, or go to Jesse, the head chief police, or whatever.
But here's my thing. When he said that he would sleep with her, I went like this. Yay! I was so excited. I was like cheering like it was a Mets game.
When he said he'd sleep with her?
Move in with her.
Oh, yes. You said sleep
with her. Oh, that was subconscious.
You idiot.
I am thinking subconsciously.
I was like, again, she's watching like the unedited version on SoapNet because I didn't see that. I was like.
Anyway, mm-hmm. No, that one was just hopeful, wishful thinking.
They're hot together. I like them.
You know who was really hot together? Adam and Jake at the gym.
Oh, that was funny.
Listen.
I had to put the scene on mute, though, so I can understand what Adam was saying.
No,
but
I had to turn on. I swear to God, I turned on the closed caption. My Asian.
I always do that when he's on. I can't understand.
I had to turn on the closed caption.
I have to watch the scenes twice.
But I thought it was so funny because say what you will about Adam. He's kind of a big, strong man. And you put little Ricky Paul Golden next to him. He ain't but 5'6", a buck 50 maybe.
Yeah, but my money's on Ricky Paul. He's scrappy looking.
He look like a...
He don't fight fair.
He look like the jockey for Seabiscuit.
No, he doesn't. Yes, he look like the first place he'd punch him is right there in the testicles.
He look like a lollipop kid next to Adam.
No, he did not. I say my money's on Ricky Paul. I think Ricky Paul could take him. Scrappy. Look out for those scrappy ones. God. They're the ones to watch out for.
Well, he's just the perfect size for our little Miss Greenlee Rebecca Budding.
I know, because she's like, what, 4'4"?
She is all of 4'2 and a half.
Oh, I gave her time. I thought I was being sarcastic, buddy.
And 73 pounds. Amazing.
She is not no 73 pounds.
What? She's 4'2 and a half and 73 pounds.
Is she really 4'2"? No, I don't know what it'll be. How tall is 4'2 and
she's
a half?
She's about 5 foot.
Okay.
Maybe. She ain't even close to a bucko too. I'm giving her 97, maybe. And she's perfect for him. Perfect Aiden, dumbass. Perfect Aiden actually thanks Jake for staying with Greenlee.
That was so stupid. I was just like, where the?
Well, it was cute people because Jake was like, come on, hit me. Go ahead, just put on a glove, hit me. And Aiden wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. You want to talk about Tad and Jake?
Ricky Paul can make anybody look good.
Oh, I love talking about me some Jake.
Let me tell you, again, I like moments like this. I thought the whole Tad and Jake stuff was amazing.
Tad and Jake happened right before Greenlee and Jake.
Yeah, and see, this is the one thing that kind of irked me. You didn't get irked by it, but I got irked by it because it ended with Tad was with Jake, and then Jake goes to the bar to get something, and Greenlee comes in, and that's the way one episode ends, and when it starts the next day, Greenlee's with Jake, and there's no mention of Tad and Kathy. So I guess we're supposed to believe that, like, in between these two episodes, that Tad was like, all right, Jake, I'm leaving now with my daughter. Bye. I was like, I seen you, Greenlee. No, that's bizarre. It bothered me because I was like, how the hell is this? Because it picked up right from the same moment. So where?
I didn't even think about it.
I thought about it.
I thought about Tad and Jake.
Oh, someone on the blog, though,
I think it was CRS17.
You better get it right.
It was CRS17. He said, Tad just call Jake sweetheart?
Tad calls all his guys sweetheart. He calls Jesse sweetheart too.
Oh, I love it.
He's called Jesse sweetheart in the past. That's his little.
My father
Taddy
does
thing.
That. I think it's sweet, and I actually think it's very manly.
It's bromance.
It's bromance. Oh, tell me about bromance.
Oh my God, Ryan Seacrest is producing a reality show called Bromance with Brody Jenner, Bruce Jenner's son, the guy from The Hills who used to, I think, kind of fool around with Elsie or their friends or whatever. But these guys are going to go on this reality competition show to become part of Brody Jenner's like entourage, part of his posse. So it's called Bromance. And all I can say, Ryan Seacrest, is this is so gay. I mean, it is so gay, and it is Gay Pride Weekend here in New York.
I love it.
And this is so gay. Bromance sounds like the most gayest thing I've ever heard.
I'm very happy about Bromance.
You're going to watch it?
I'm currently taping Hopkins.
I saw Hopkins.
I didn't see the first one. I'm so
upset. Oh,
I got to watch it on ABC.com.
You got to watch it on ABC.com. I loved it. Yeah, and you know what's so funny is that it then shows you that all these stuff that happens on Grey's Anatomy isn't that far-fetched.
Not only is it not far-fetched, some of it's worse.
Well, no, now I'm not talking about the hospital case. I'm talking about people's personal lives.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying.
They're getting into the doctor's person. I mean, I thought Hopkins was riveting.
I heard it was great.
I loved it. I can't wait to watch it. I really, really, and you know me, I'm not a big reality fan show.
But to me, that's more documentary. That's not reality. Yeah. Because you know why? Reality shows, people, scripted. You people know as well as I do, it's all scripted.
The Hills?
Oh, come on. I believed him. But Hopkins is not. Hopkins is a legitimate story. It's only six episodes.
That's it?
That's it. It's just six episodes. They went to people. They watched people's lives. They showed the real deal. That's it. It's not scripted.
I saw my second episode of MVP. Loved it.
I gotta watch it.
Oh my God, I love MVP.
You gotta watch Footballers' Wives.
Yes, I'm gonna go to Amazon.com and I'm gonna get Footballers' Wives because I want to get it.
Maybe go to some of the cheaper places, eBay or something. I'm gonna eBay it for you.
All right.
Back to Tad and Jake. Tad is starting to call Jake on why he's so messed in the head. He gets him to stay in Pine Valley. And I liked that Kathy was really mopey. It made sense.
Yes.
Although they didn't mention why she was mopey. That was the only thing that made me
mad. Well, you've been saying that you thought it was too perfect last week and you wanted her to be more of a problem child. You got your witch. She was acting like a brat this week.
Well, she needs to be more of a brat. But what happened was the next day, Tad goes to BJ's every day.
And it shows. I'm sorry, Tad, Michael Knight.
Next time you go to BJ's, a little tip. Have the salad.
Ooh.
Oh, come on.
With light Caesar dressing.
I'm sorry.
I like you, Michael Knight.
We love you. We're just teasing.
Just get on the treadmill every once in a while.
Come on. Just a little
bit. Just a little bit. And dye the hair. Dye the hair.
Anyway. He's back at BJ's with Crystal. And he's so happy. And I love me some Miss Crystal. I'm kind of confused about the people who don't like Crystal.
Who doesn't like Crystal?
There are people that do not like Quack. Lots of them.
What's Quack?
Crystal with a K. She is beautiful. She is sexy. She is so sweet and soft, but also fiery and peppery. She plays with Michael Knight. She is so good. I adore her. And she looks so beautiful.
Well, I'll be the first one to admit, when she first came out, I didn't like her, but that's because she was vying for Tad against my Liza. And when it comes down to my Liza, you know me. Nobody beats my Liza Marcy Walker. But Liza Marcy Walker's gone, and now it's Crystal. And Crystal's really Adam's true love, not Tad. So, you know, I'm just feeling them. I think Bobby Eakes is so subtle in her work.
So subtle, so beautiful,
so real, so natural. And I love the scenes with her and Michael Knight. And I love the scenes with her and Adam.
Yep.
I even kind of love the scenes with her and you, babe.
I won't hit you for that.
Okay.
If you had said another five-letter word, I might have hit you.
No, I like her when you babe.
Okay.
You know what? My opinion of you babe has changed.
Thank you.
In the sense that I realize, you know what? It's not that Amanda Baker? Mm-hmm. That's her name? It's not that Amanda Baker can't act.
She's fine.
It's just that, you know, I still feel like it was a really horrible transition into new babe.
Yeah, it was dumb.
The way they did it and the fact that there was they could have had babe go away for 2 weeks and then brought her on. You know what I mean? There was no transition, and you can't help but compare her to Alexa. And I know that you guys, there's a lot of you that didn't really care for Alexa. I loved me some Alexa Havens because it was the first time that there was a young girl on the show who really could act, you know?
She phoned it in toward the end.
No, we talked about that, and she had every reason to. They probably treated her like crap because she was leaving, but whatever. I don't think Amanda Baker's a bad actress.
She's very good.
I just, you know, it's not Babe. That's the problem that I have with her. It's so not the character.
She's not even perfect diction.
She's not. Yeah, I know the accent's gone and
the fashion.
And also, she's crazy, you know, fashion. Alexa Haven's babe was, you know, a little bit She wasn't perfect, but
physically, she wasn't perfect.
But the thing was that she wasn't stupid, and I think that they made this babe, new babe, a little stupid at times, especially with
the Richie
stuff.
She's a little black and white.
Yeah.
She's a little absolute. So, there's no middle. There's no gray. She's black or white. No gray.
So I'm going to say that I don't dislike Amanda Baker. It's hard for me sometimes to accept her as babe. Now, new Kobe is a different story.
I'm going
to
tell you right now. That five head lost Katie. She did. That Cro-Magnon lady.
Cro-Magnon?
Cro-Magnon paleo religion, period.
How do you even know those words? Have you been looking at Wikipedia again?
It's the Reader's Digest large print edition.
Oh my God.
They talk about evolution. She has not evolved. She lost a child that has been lost for 7 years. How do you do that? You would think she would have more brain because she has so much forehead. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I was so happy when Tad runs home and he yelled at Kobe. Crystal did like a half-ass protecting Kobe. It was kind of funny.
I felt bad when he yelled at Kobe. I don't even like
her. I wanted him to slap her in the forehead.
Like that?
Yes, but not me. Dang.
Well, it's because your forehead isn't as big as hers.
It's not as big. But that's what I'm saying. If he did it, he couldn't miss. You know what I'm saying?
You're evil today. I love it.
Bless her heart. Listen, it was provided an astounding moment because Katie was hiding behind the couch. And Tad finds her and he begs her to come out. And she comes out and he's like crying and shaking, having just found his daughter who he thought he lost. He was shaking and she had tears. Her eyes were so big and she had tears coming out. And he was crying and I was crying. I'm getting goosebumps right now. I love this moment.
It was a beautiful moment.
I loved it. And Katie was so perfect. Oh, she was perfect. I really don't want to talk about Adam and JR and Colby.
Well, I'll talk about them. I like the Adam and JR storyline. Because JR is after his father's position after all these years. JR is stepping up to play and this is good soap opera. The only problem is it goes back to what I was telling you before. With a new writer coming on, all this can be dropped. We got all this interesting stuff that could be played out. Could you imagine Carmen coming to work for Adam? Because that's where it looks like it's going. Carmen supposedly is going to be working for Adam. As a maid. May I remind you that Dixie was working as what?
But she was related Adam. To Palmer.
No. Adam hired Dixie to work for him as a maid and then decided that he wanted to get her impregnated so he can have an heir. That's how JR came into existence. He was married to Brooke, but he was so obsessed with having a male heir, and Brooke could not have children, supposedly.
Why? Because then she had Laura.
No, but I think something happened where they thought that she couldn't have children. Oh. And he, even though he loved Brooke, he wanted an heir, a male heir. That's why he impregnated Dixie. But so the whole thing is, like, think of the possibilities. He could get Carmen to try to spy on JR. And there's so much comical stuff that could happen with Carmen in the midst of JR and Adam. But that might not happen because we got a new head writer coming on.
We will see.
I love the Adam and JR stuff. What I didn't like...
It had to be prefaced by that damn new Kobe.
That's the one thing that I didn't like about it. Ugh. That she was involved in it. First of all, she can only show one emotion at a time. She does not know how to play subtlety. Like she was all happy.
Bless her heart.
She was all she was all happy with Adam.
Getting
the car. And then because it says so in the script, she turns around and she goes, "But don't think for one moment that this is gonna like be okay what you did to like Tad and JR and keeping like Kathy away from them." I mean, the extremes were just so, it was a horrible performance.
I'm going to make a promise right now. From the rest of the show, I'm not going to talk about how much I don't like new Kobe because.
That's good. So that means me too.
I'm even getting bored with it.
Well, no, I'm sorry, but like they need to just admit they made a mistake and bring back Amber.
It makes no sense at all.
I mean, the scene.
She's turning 18.
The scene.
Amber was turning 18 in real life. How does it make any sense?
And they're not putting her with Frankie, so what was the problem? Obviously, this has something to do with they didn't like Amber for whatever reason. I think that's sus because I liked Amber.
Well, whatever.
But wait, and then new Kobe goes to meet Cassandra and Dre. Dre, he who is like a vortex and sucks the energy out of every scene. Ooh. He's so bland.
Bless his heart.
And, you know, I gotta say, like...
That was an act.
Yaya, Yaya was a bad actor.
Was a very bad actor.
God Yaya, bless Yaya
she
for like
won hands down.
Yeah, God bless Yaya for surviving to have to work with those two, because that must be like a trip.
Did you hear all of them? All of them was like, woe is me, oh my God, my life sucks, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but I believe Cassandra. See, that's the one thing that I like about the fact that Cassandra's real about the whole Frankie, Jesse, Angie thing. Think of it from her point of view. She is like the outsider. She is not Jesse's daughter.
Can I tell you the mark of the patheticness of the teen scene in Pine Valley?
Was when Kobe brought out the keys and was like, woo, started like dancing in her chair like an idiot.
Besides that, have you people seen the ABC promos for One Life to Live and GH for their teen scenes? There is no AMC in these promos. You know how normally it's like the summer of heat or whatever. It's like a summer promo and they show clips from all three shows. For the teen scenes, they only have One Life to Live in General Hospital, because there's nothing happening on All My Children with the Teens. Nothing that anybody gives
Rex
two craps about.
Rex and Gigi aren't teens.
But they showed them as part of the teen scene, which I could understand why they would be. They're young. They're very young characters.
Okay, Erica.
Oh, you love Erica. You talk about Erica. You talk about Adam coming to visit Erica.
Wait, Adam. I'm sorry, but David Canary and Susan Lucci, any storyline that you can come up with those two are working together, I'm going to love, because they work so well opposite each other. Adam, of course, Erica decided that she thought she had the perfect way to get Carmen out of jail, which was to work for Jack. But the judge wasn't going to go for that. Jackson told Erica, the judge said, can't work for me, can't work for you, has to be something outside. So, of course, Erica decides that she knows the perfect person. So she has Adam come down to the prison. And she literally was telling Adam that she has, like, the perfect PR way to, like, get him out of his little, like, dark, you know, publicity aspect right now with everything that's been going on in his life. And she says for him to take in Carmen, which, of course, he was, like, not going for that at all. He thought she was crazy. He was like, are you insane? They had such great dialogue. And then she blackmails him into doing it, which I loved.
It was funny.
It was great, funny stuff.
It was fun.
But the best moment
was... Tell him how she blackmailed.
Huh?
Tell him how she blackmailed.
You tell him.
She said to Adam, Adam, I just might have to put a segment on my show each week about you and about your escapades. That's what I'll have to do. Every week, we'll have the Adam Hour or something like that.
See, she does a great Susan Lucci.
I mean, it was like so funny. So it's like, and he's like, Erica, damn it, Erica.
But
I love when Carmen went up to him.
That was my favorite moment. And she was
she
like,
say?
She was like, so what? We're going to shack up together or what?
She said, Carmen Morales at your service. So we shacking up or what?
I loved it. And this is what's making me sad.
And
because
then Adam whispers to Erica, I loathe you.
Oh,
and
like,
she says, back at you, Adam.
I just, if this storyline does not go like full head, I'm going to be upset, because I love me Elizabeth Virtue. I know you feel that the character is still a little bit one-dimensional for you, but I love the character.
Yes.
And I love her. And I, you know, it proved it when she finally got released and she was crying. And
she's
she didn't,
a fantastic
and she didn't,
actress.
And she didn't
want to
leave.
Down.
And she didn't want to leave Erica.
I got no problems with Elizabeth. I think she's beautiful and brilliant.
How does Brian Fonz not say, you know what, we got to find here with this actress. We got to keep this character on. Chuck Pratt, you got to continue with this character.
She's not real for me yet, people. She's still a caricature for me.
I love it. I'm loving
she's
it. We disagree on that
yet.
One. I love her.
I love. Listen, you people don't hear me saying I hate her. I love the character of Carmen. I think she's vibracious and vibrant and funny. I love the actress even more. I think she's super talented. I want to see more of her. But I'm not buying the character yet. Like, I'm not. It's too
I'm buying it. I disagree with
you
on that.
Can you see her making love to somebody?
Yes.
She'd be like jabba-jawing it.
No, she wouldn't.
She'd be like talking the whole time.
No, she wouldn't.
Yeah, she would.
She jabba-jaw. She looked like she'd take control in bed. She looks like she'd be the more dominant one. She'd be the one with the dirty talk.
Plus, she just like sucking up to Erica the whole time. Like,
I
like,
don't think she's sucking up to
not
Erica.
Even sucking up. That's not the right word. It's like Erica rescued her.
I disagree with you on that. I don't think that. I think it just happens that this woman is the first person who actually.
I'm sensitive to that crap.
Well, I'm Puerto Rican too, but I disagree with you. I don't see it that way.
I do.
Well, that's you. I personally say this is the first person in her life who's actually been there for her, supported her, and believed in her.
Wiped her ass for her. She did everything for her. It's a wonder the woman could get up out of her cell in the morning without Erica King.
We're not going to agree on this one, let me tell you.
She even said it. She said, you did everything for me, Erica. You did everything for me. You turned my life around. You gave me another chance. You did everything for me. I owe you, though, my life, Erica Kane.
Because it's true.
Ay, ay, ay. So stupid. I think it's gross.
I don't. We disagree on this storyline.
I couldn't even talk before I met you, Erica Kane.
She did not say that. You are so stupid. Leave my Carmen Morales, my Carmen Sugar Morales alone.
It's not.
Sugar.
We will agree to disagree.
We were going to agree to disagree on that one.
Can I tell you something?
What?
Did Sam Woods really take Erica back to solitary?
I didn't know.
So she could come to terms with the trauma that she experienced for the 72 minutes she was in there? When that door closed. Wait, I can't even do it. I'm laughing so hard. When that door closed. The world didn't exist anymore.
And then what did Bobblehead tell her?
Oh, I don't remember. He does look like a bobblehead, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Wasn't he like something like, Erica, we don't have to do this. We don't have to do this. Because it was so traumatic.
But see, this is a perfect example of what I was talking about. Like, they bring people on. Where are they going with this? Where are they going with this Sam Woods thing? I mean, you got somebody like Mario Van Peebles playing it. My brother came by to my place and saw me watching. He goes, you know what he told me? He goes, damn, I can't believe he sung so low to be on a soap.
He was in Juice, wasn't he? He was in Juice.
Juice, I don't know. My brother was like, really is a big Mario. He was like, he could not believe.
Yeah.
And then he goes, I get, you know, and I told him, I said, well, times are hard. They got to make their money, these actors.
I don't blame him.
Where work comes, sure. They work comes. And my brother's like, well, I guess they're paying him a lot and he's working 5 days a week. I was like, no, try one day every 2 weeks. One day every 2 weeks.
Seriously.
And I said, they can't be paying him that much because they can't afford it anymore.
You want to talk about your favorite character, Randy, because I sure don't.
First of all, you skipped over Jesse and Angie.
Oh, shoot.
Jesse, Angie, and Frankie were the hottest thing.
You know why?
The hottest.
Because it starts with Frankie and Randy, then leads into Jesse
and Angie. Anyway, the three of them.
He's mean to me today.
Why are
you so mean to me today,
Jordan? You are cracked. Ashley Winehouse.
I'm a very sensitive person.
Ashley Winehouse, shut up.
He does not. See? He talking about me today.
You're crazy.
I'm gonna shut up. Zip.
They looked fabulous at the Daytime Emmys. You didn't see the Daytime Emmys, did you? I saw the Daytime Emmys, and I gotta say, All My Children was the hottest looking cast as far as I was concerned. Susan Lucci looked like she was like 24. She looked so good. She was so young looking and so gorgeous in that dress. And then when the Hubbards came out, I was like, work. They looked fabulous. Debbie Morgan looked great in her dress. And even Beth Ehlers looked hot. She was there with Ricky Paul.
Are we going to talk about Frankie and the prostitute?
Yeah.
Okay. Frankie doesn't believe that she was a hooker when the cops came in to arrest her, to tell them. When she shows up at the hospital beat up by that Fletcher guy.
Right.
And then the cops say she's a hooker. And then Frankie gets all upset and mad. And see, I thought the cops were bad. I thought they were smirking their way through the scenes when they were like, she's a prostitute, she's a hooker, blah, blah, blah.
No, that was what was in the script. They were doing what they were given to play. I think they were supposed to do that.
Well, I just think these stories are so lazy because, of course, like, Jesse's chomping at the bit to get involved, you know? Like, it's so silly.
Well,
but my favorite part is when Randy wakes up from her, like, half coma and she goes, what happened? And she touches her head. Now, she's got a bandage on. She's got, like, a fake oozing wound at the top of her head and she's touching it like she's doing her hair. I'm just like, how stupid can you be? She like doesn't win, she doesn't care, she even touches the bloody forehead, doesn't even notice there's blood on her hand. Stupid. So then Frankie finally gets Randy to admit she's a prostitute and she yells, she's like, shut up Frankie, shut up. And Angie comes running and she's like, why are you yelling?
She showed a little bit of more emotion than that. She was not new Kobe.
That's true.
Look, I gotta say that I agree with you in the sense that this storyline was rushed this week. I mean, It just was really rushed. I mean, I know where they were going with it, and I liked where it ended on Friday with Jesse.
Well, tell them how it was rushed, because you told me. In the-
well, first of all, the whole thing was they were coming up with a way to get Angie to realize that Jesse needs to follow his true calling. Yes. And I loved the end result, but the execution to get there was atrocious. The fact that Jesse was able to get Randy's pimp busted all in, like, two scenes was ridiculous.
It was like candy from a baby.
It was rushed. It was ridiculous. I was watching.
He entraps him.
He entraps him. I mean, it was just stupid. It was really, you know, bogus. And as much as I've been defending Randy and I'm saying that I like her, I gotta admit, Friday's episode, she lost me. She really lost me.
Why is that, Jordan?
Because she was really, like, I disagree with you. I thought the scenes with her and Frankie when they were yelling and I thought she did okay. She wasn't fabulous by any stretch of the imagination. But Friday, she was a little dead. A little, not dead behind the eyes, but a little bland. It was a little bland on Friday.
We call it DBTE. That's a condition. Dead behind the eyes.
She was a little bit of that on Friday. And I got to say, I was disappointed because it was the first time that I was like, oh, girl, what's that? You're not earning your paycheck.
You did that like Randy from American Idol. You're like,
Didn't work for me, dog. It's not working for me, dog.
Not working for me.
But I got to say, Jesse and Angie, fabulous on Friday. Those were such heartwarming
Angela
scenes.
Angela comes to her senses.
When she could admit that she was wrong. I mean, and the two of them just play so well together. But, you know,
she gave him a hat.
Yeah, she gave him his police hat.
A very large police hat. He has a very small head.
See, but you...
and the cap was very big.
But see, you gotta understand, this all happens so fast.
Yes, I agree.
He comes back from the dead. They're already married, and it's not even 6 months into the year. You know what I mean? They really rushed this. Writing is not what it used to be on soaps. They don't take their time with it.
I still love the Superman episodes, though. Love them with the helicopter.
Yeah, but again, it's like, where are you going with them?
I don't care. That
What's their next storyline? I got to say this, though. Frankie, Cornelius is so good as Frankie because as much as Randy's not all that, he is so believable as like that he's in love with her. Like when he is fighting for her, I'm like, oh, I wish somebody would look at me like that.
I like him.
He's really, really good. He is really, really, really good. Like Mr.
Cornelius. I got one complaint
about the
storyline. I hate the apartment they're in.
They should be in a Hubbard house.
They need a home.
They should be in the Hubbard
house. And not the slick apartment. Doesn't it feel wrong? Like, I see it and it doesn't feel right.
No, well, first of all, the four of them are living there and those aren't little kids. Those are adults.
Yes.
Cassandra and Frankie are adults. And that's another thing. This is the thing that irks me about the whole Cassandra thing. It's like, we've seen her once this week and it's with Dre and Colby. Where the hell has she been since the wedding? Why have we not been seeing her interacting with Jesse, Angie, Frankie? It's really a waste. It's really, really bizarre to me the way they're coming out with that. But
overall, what do you give the show?
This week, I gotta say, I was a little sad with all my children this week. I was just really like I said, there were a lot of great moments. Like I loved my Erica and Carmen, my Carmen and Erica and Adam. I loved my Tad and Kathy. I love my Jake and Greenlee, my Jesse and Angie. But as a whole, I'm kind of like, it was a very disjointed week.
And the
week.
Whole Richie thing is so forced and so...
You know what it is? It's at the point now that you're at the point where all you're going to say is, so what?
So what? But also, too, I can't wait till it's done. Let's move on already. It's done. It's cooked, put a fork in it. Done.
Because, again, you had a good actor.
Very good.
That
excellent.
You wrote into a
Richie
corner.
Is excellent.
You wrote... Again, you have possibilities with this character.
I find him so sexy, too.
But I told you, the minute... He purposely put Greenlee and what's his name down in that thing.
Forget it. Done.
That was you put him
he
in a
was
corner.
Done.
You're making him
He was done.
It was done. It was done. That was their mistake. You could have had because when they first brought him on, I told you that I thought it would have been great.
Everybody thought if
Blandy were the one who was the little nuts,
we all
you know,
that
would have been
because
a good
it would have made sense because she was too perfectly written as a character.
Yeah.
She was too perfect.
It would have been more interesting.
Her and her mom jeans
they,
and all
they,
that.
They dropped the ball a lot with those two, and I feel bad because for so many years we're put up with seeing horrible actors. Here you had two decent actors. And you did nothing with
but
them.
But he's so good. Don't you see him being picked up primetime?
I could see him moving on.
Billy Miller. Billy Miller. You take it from Ashley and Jordan. Jordash. You don't got to worry about this.
One door closes, another door opens. You're going to move on to bigger and better, my friend. You're going to be a big star. You can look back at this and laugh, all right? You be proud of yourself. You hold your head high and you move on into the sunset. You're going to be a big blazing star.
Thank you for our name, Arizona gal.
That's an awesome name, Jordash. I like
Jordash.
It.
Jordash. We're like a soap couple. it was a disjointed week at all, my children.
What are you going to do?
And I'm sorry if I seemed a little lackluster at the beginning of the show, but I kind of felt disjointed.
He needed his Red Bull.
My Red Bull, please. Oh, gross.
He didn't have his Red Bull.
No, I'm saying Red Bull.
All right, people. Well, thank you for listening to us. We are always so delighted that you allow us the pleasure of coming into your computers for an hour every week. Your iPods. What?
I was going to compliment you, by the way.
What? What'd I do?
I cried so much. You put a Chuck and Donna scene.
Oh, my God.
Last week's podcast. Because I do the show with her, but she does the beginning and the end without me. So I get to hear it like you guys do when I hear the show. And when I heard Chuck and Donna, I was crying.
I was trying to show parallel structure.
I loved Chuck and Donna.
But that's my point from last week. I always try to make it relevant to the show, people. I'm always thinking about y'all because I love y'all. You all are loyal to the program. I like to give you something to listen to.
But I didn't like the week before.
But time out. What? What did I do the week before?
You put on that hideously Megan McTavish written scene where Tad told Liza, we're just friends. That's all we could ever be.
It proved that, my look, point.
That was to the Megan McTavish years. That does not count. It does not count.
Of scenes like that to choose from. There were many scenes like that to choose from.
Megan McTavish.
It wasn't difficult.
Megan, you know what? If I had control, I would have put on a scene where
it doesn't exist.
I could find it does exist.
It doesn't exist. Eliza and Tad scene where they're lovey-dovey or anything more than friends.
We're never gonna.
Never anything more. Like Greenlee and Ryan. No, friends.
No, I disagree. We're gonna disagree on that.
Chuck and Donna. My point with Chuck and Donna was that if you're gonna do Frankie and Randy, prostitute and a doctor, when you have the Chuck and Donna, Chuck was a doctor, and that's exactly how Donna came on. Brilliant actors, beautiful, heartfelt performances. When you heard Donna saying those words to Chuck, I wanted to cry listening to that scene because she had a secret. She wasn't telling Chuck the truth. Chuck was so happy about that baby, and the secret was that wasn't Chuck's baby. Right? Mm. And that was incredible. And then you listen to Randy and Frankie's good, but Randy, come on now. Come on.
Oh, those were Judy the days Bly Wilson, of all my children.
Suck it up. Find an ugly woman who can act. I don't care what she looks like. She's got to be no America's Next Top Model. Put a woman who can act. That's all I'm saying. I want to be moved. I don't want to know America's Next Top Model. I mean, Yaya was an exception. She's very good. But even Yaya doesn't have the depth yet to pull off Donna type scene. She's a good, interesting actress, but she's still got some work to do. I'm saying
Tika.
She ain't no Tika's good.
Oh my God, I love me.
From One Life to Live.
I know, I told you guys good. I wasn't gonna say anything about One Life to Live, but I gotta say, I love me my Tika on One Life to Live.
She's very talented.
It's Layla. You got me on my knees, Layla.
Is that her name in the show?
Her name in the show is Layla, and her real name is Tika. And let me tell you something. First of all, I love her because she is black. Because sometimes when they get African American actors in a show, they like to get like really light skin or mulatto. She is dark skin. I love her. Yeah. She is gorgeous. She's gorgeous, gorgeous woman. And the thing is, she can act. She can act. That's all I'm gonna say on this.
Absolutely.
Tika.
Anyway, so that was my point with that.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, people, thank you for listening. We feel so blessed to do this program for y'all. If you want to write us and break our hearts, you can do so at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. Or you can go to our MySpace page and leave us a nice comment at www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast. Or you could go to our website and you can find links to all of that. Plus, you can find our podcast, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. And don't forget, people, y'all can rate us on iTunes. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can feel free to give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying?
Or y'all could just say, oh, that Jordan Ashley, they try. Bless their heart.
They give the old college try. Bless their hearts.
Cards don't lie.
That's right. The cards don't lie. They don't lie.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
Okay, Opal. Just tell me the truth. What do you see in my cards?
All right, I'll tell you, but you're not going to like it.
Okay, just tell me.
All right, here it is. This is the moon in the present. This means that things are not as they appear to be. Something is out of balance. The time is out of joint. The wheel of fortune right next to it here, that just amplifies it. Says that something has been altered, something's been changed, and it must be redeemed. But here, in the place of your hopes and your dreams, this is the lovers, a woman. That, you're probably thinking again, is babe, I assume. Well, up here, you got the King of Cups. This guy is a very strong male influence that will come between you and that desire. But your real problem is right here. The card in this position is the Devil. He's sitting on top of the lovers, getting in their way, cursing at them. But this is not an outside influence, Richie. This is something that is eating you from the inside. And death. Yes, this time it does mean real death. Because it's got the Wheel of Fortune next to it.
So what does that mean?
That means that death has been cheated. And that death won't be satisfied till it finds you.